So good to be with you again. I do feel the presence and the energy, and I hope you do too. I hope you feel a little slice of home when you tune in here to our sanctuary. So today we're continuing on our series. Actually, we're finishing our series on these questions, the four questions that we're holding now. And the question really that opens us to this is, do we want to live from a place of innate peace, innate love, innate joy? Do we want to really tap more of that? Would you like to be the best that you could possibly be? Would you like to make the greatest impact and the greatest contribution in your short walk here on earth? Well, I know probably most of us, if we were sitting in this room together, we would hear some nods or see some nods and hear some yeses or amens, because that's the kind of path that we all are on. So it's helpful, to ask questions. And I was thinking about when I first became an ordained minister, it was, all the when something new like that happens to you, and it's like the whole world now is open. The world is your oyster. What will you be? What will you become? How will you realize your potential in this new role? So I was sort of like Charles Fillmore, fairly sizzling with zeal and enthusiasm, to spring forth and do the things that ought be done by me. He said that, by the way, when he was 94. I wasn't 94 when I became ordained, but I had that kind of feeling. And I remember James Trapp, who's actually a minister here in Sacramento now, had become the leader of our movement. He was our executive director at Unity Worldwide Ministries. And I really admire James's vision. He's a real visionary kind of guy. And so I really wanted to soak it up, all the seasoned ministers, that had any wisdom to share. And something that James said really stuck with me and has stuck with me for a long time. And he said that leadership isn't about knowing the answers. It's about asking the right questions. And so that idea of, and it's not just leadership, but, really life, what opens us up, what allows us to become alive and is our curiosity and our ability to inquire within, our ability to reflect. So questions themselves are really helpful, I think, to our journey. And it's asking the right questions. Well, whatever that means is, we keep trying until it's like, oh yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm going to take out on my nature immersion and walk with today. That's the one I'm going to journal on. That's the one I'm going to take into my meditation time. So when we ask questions, it captures our attention. It focuses us in a little bit more. So there's many things that can come from that process. It opens doors, curiosity, doesn't it? It opens doors of the world, but also opens the doors of us, our own hearts, our own minds, our own possibilities. So today's question is, how will I realize my divine potential? Just a little question like that, right? It's like a lifetime, right? Or lifetimes kind of question. It's one of those esoteric questions that if we are on an earnest spiritual journey, we're going to ask along the way. So today, we're just going to kind of explore that from a couple different angles. So as we, even to ask that question, it presupposes something, doesn't it? So if we say, how will I realize my divine potential, it shares the belief that we already believe that we have divine potential, that we have an innate divinity in us that wants to be, that can be tapped. So, we look to our teachers for this. In Unity, we call Jesus our way shower. There are many master teachers, and that's just kind of a term that we use because he points the way, right? And so one of the things that Jesus really showed us was, how can you be a human being and really express in its fullness a consciousness of the divine, or Christ consciousness, if you will? That's what we mean when we say Christ connected to Jesus. It's about that consciousness, that anointed kind of way of being that is anointed in the divinity that we are. and that shows up. You know, the difference between Jesus and us is he just didn't forget. And we forget, remember, and forget, remember usually on our path. But what did he show us? He showed us what it's like to embody a life that is just completely grounded in faith, that stands in the principle of faith, that doesn't waver from that place. And that we can actually open ourselves up to let God speak through us, to let God act through us. It's a little bit of getting out of the way those parts of ourselves that we tend to identify as who we are, that more egoic side of us, and to move that, not to diminish it or eliminate it, but to use it so that it is, you know, that the master in charge here is the consciousness of this divinity, and the servant, if you will, is the ego, is the rest of our being. So when we can line up in that way, we're getting closer and closer to actually realizing our divine potential. You know, Jesus did all these amazing things, right? Healed people of all kinds of ailments. He pointed to how to, you know, bring in or bring up the and include the disadvantaged. He welcomed the stranger. In other words, he even raised people from the dead. And then he turned around and looked at us and said, these things you will do, and greater things than these. It wasn't just a platitude. It was like, we all share this divine potential. We all can do these things and greater things, whatever it is that is yours to do, akin to this kind of contribution to the world. So this brilliance isn't meant to be for the special ones or for those that we put on the pedestal. It's for all of us to be able to tap. So to discover that power within us, to act from that power within us, is probably the most exhilarating and positively impactful thing we could possibly do with our lives. To focus here, to ask this question, then to live the question, to allow it to move through us is it, right? Because when we do that, not only are we contributing, but we will feel all that power and joy and peace and love and dwell in that kind of place. So no matter what life circumstances come, that's where our perspective will be. That's how we will show up. That's how we will feel and see. Yet, a lot of us spend a fair amount of time hiding this innate truth. You know, putting our light under a bushel basket, if you will, making ourselves small, playing small in the world, holding back on our aspirations and our dreams. A lot of us just don't allow ourselves to tap that magnificence that we were born to be. For various reasons, we'll explore a little bit of that. How do you do that? You know, do you know how you can you think of ways that you block your own light? Ways that you show up and playing small? Ways that you are holding back on the allness and the magnificence that wants to be known through you and as you? The point is to share it, to serve, right? So the point is to contribute to the world. And so it's like a void is left in the universe when we hold back on that. So it's not of the ego to say, oh, how wonderful I am. It's actually quite humble to realize the power that we have been given and the possibility that we can be, to be the divine on earth. So it wasn't until I was attending Unity for a while that I noticed a family pattern that my mom and my sister and I all did. When we would make a simple mistake, we would get so frustrated with ourselves that we would say, what's wrong with me? You know, with this sort of intensity, you know, maybe kind of a scowl like that, you know, and I wouldn't have noticed that unconscious habit, I don't think, had I not come into New Thought teachings. But it was so clear then when I went home and saw it and thought, oh my gosh, I do that too. And look how much I'm seeing that. And it's not the right question. The right question is, what's right with me? That's what's going to put us on the path that we want to be on. Not berating ourselves for small things, but giving ourselves grace and generosity. And then looking at what's right with me, you know, so affirming that, make a list, write it down, you know, journal that idea of what's right with me, and maybe make it a daily practice, because the more we put what's right with us into our consciousness, the more we live that experience, the more that will be what shows up for us inside and out. So we are basically as divine as we're willing to see. We're, you know, that's the limit that we put on for ourselves. I mean, there is an unlimited potential in us, but it's only as big as we're able to see it in terms of how it can be let out, expressed. And if it's hard for you to recognize your own divinity, take a moment to think about the people who love you the most. And they love you, you know, no matter. And so what is it, you know, that they say or that they demonstrate that they love about you so that you recognize that there is something there that you are contributing already and you begin to stoke that a little bit. Or think about if you're a grandparent or a parent, think about how when your children or grandchildren are at their best, how you look at them, how you see them, how you see both their greatness, their magnificence, how wonderful they are, the little genius, right? All those things we say about our own children and grandchildren. And you also see the potential. You wonder what they will become, how they will grow, what they will come into. It's that kind of curiosity that we hold for ourselves, no matter how old we are, because we are an ever-evolving soul, that we look at ourselves in that same way. How pure we are, how precious we are, how the beautiful characteristics that we have, but also what could we become? What will we become when we tap this? If we look how God sees us, we would see just that kind of love, that kind of unending love that will buoy us up. So that's the aim to realizing our fullest potential, to notice where we put our gaze when we are looking upon ourselves and one another, because we can also help call forth the divinity in one another. So what will we become? I was taking a walk a few days ago, and I came across this amazing acorn. I haven't seen, the picture doesn't show how big it was. It was really long, but there's a picture in front of you of this really green, ripe acorn, and it's laying on the dry earth. And it just stood out with that, you know, it's like it had a proud little hat on and this big, you know, proud feather of an oak leaf hanging off the crown of that acorn. And I had it in my hand and I was just really looking at it. It felt like a, you know, like a manna from heaven. You know how that is? You find something on the trail, like it just kind of fell for you and it's there to bring its your attention to it. And so I was just holding it and I was thinking about the hope, you know, the hope that is in that acorn for all of us. For all of us, for our world, that it is ripe with potential, it's ripe with possibility. We ourselves are bursting with that kind of life, you know. And then as I was holding it, I looked around, and I bet you can guess what I could see. You know, these beautiful, mighty oak trees. The sun was actually, you know, it's pretty early in the day, the sun was just beaming through it. And it was like that majesty of holding this little acorn, this little proud acorn, and then looking up at what it could become. So it's that kind of knowing that is who we are and what we can become. And to wonder about it, you know, to just allow yourself to have some space just to wonder about what can I become? What's next? What is my next step to completely embodying and fully embracing my divinity? Well, Trina Bronk has a beautiful song for us, happens to be called Acorn, in the wondering of what we can become. Let's take a listen.
If an acorn becomes a tree, what will I be? If a river the sea, where am I going? As my life unfurls in the shape it's meant to be, I surrender to a deeper knowing. I choose peace. I choose love. My choices extend to mysteries that I know not of. I step outside own. I look within and find myself home. If an acorn becomes a tree, what will I be? If the river becomes the sea, where am I going? As my life unfurls in the shape that it's meant to be, I surrender myself to a deeper knowing.
So once we glimpse that divine potential, as you may have glimpsed as you were moving through the landscape, that wide, expansive landscape, that as it, once we glimpse it, once we feel its presence, once we have just, even if it's a moment, we know it's there, there's really no going back. Now, that's the beauty of the spiritual journey, is it's cumulative, right? So when we hit a benchmark, we don't slide back, you know, the old Baptist term, backsliding. We don't really do that. I mean, we may go back to old habits that don't serve us, and then we realize, oh, that doesn't really serve me. But I believe that once we hit a level in our consciousness, our awakening, we know now what it feels like. We know now what it looks like. We now have a sense of that. And so that's with us always. It's in our DNA. It's in our thought system and in our emotional body as well. And so it's something that we can tap at any time. And then we can become that passageway, right, through which joy and light can shine. So this is the heart, really, of our mission statement at Unity of Walnut Creek. You know, the full mission statement talks about, first, we are a loving, inclusive community. But the middle is the heart of it that says, expanding and living our divinity. And then the last part, in sacred service for all. So that middle part, expanding and living our divinity, it's a pretty bold statement to say, this is what we are about, but this is what we are about. This is what we are doing. We are living and expanding our divinity every moment, not just every day or every week, but every moment there's an opportunity. As Paul once said, I die daily. You know, that's a shedding of the old so that the new, the shiny new can come through. So we move from maybe I'm a poor, limited human being, that kind of thinking, into, no, I have, you know, light to shine. I have value to contribute to the world. This is the truth of who I am. This is what I walk in now. So the main thing that stands in our way that underpins all this, as we are trying to see it and think it and feel it and be it, the thing that sort of gets in the way is fear, right? It's always fear, isn't it? And fear is okay. You know, fear is going to come along, and it's okay to embrace that, but we don't want it to block our path. We don't want it to block our light. And so you probably know this quote really well by Marianne Williamson, but it is a brilliant one, and it really speaks to this. So I want to share it with you again. Maybe you'll hear it with new ears, and maybe some of you are hearing it for the first time. So it's about a paragraph long, so just, you know, sink in and receive, maybe as if you're hearing it just now, dropping into your consciousness. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will feel more secure around, other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's it, isn't it? That's really what we fear. It's our brilliance. It's our divinity itself that we fear. It's the tapping, that power that we fear. What will I become? I don't know. It's uncertain. I don't know how my life will change. I don't know, you know, if I'll still have the same friends and family. I don't know if I'll be asked to move somewhere. I don't know if, you know, all those sort of human fears start to weigh us down as we begin to emerge into our divinity. So to recognize that, to call it out, to say, it's not that I'm afraid of failure and inadequacy, I'm afraid of success, I'm afraid of my divinity, I'm afraid of that full power of my potential, but there's nothing to fear. God is always with us, comforting and guiding and encouraging. It doesn't all have to happen at once. That's usually what we fear the most, right? There's going to be this like big explosive experience of life, that lightning's going to strike down, and you know, there's going to be just, you know, all the stuff that happens that feels like, you know, the full effects of Hollywood. And it's probably not going to happen that way. I mean, it might, but for most of us, it's going to be a step-by-step emergence, and a moment by moment, sometimes, whoa, I can really feel the power. I can really feel the presence. I feel myself plugged in and turned on and tapped in, and you know, that it just, you can feel that energy moving through you, can feel it around you. And there'll be other times where it's like, oh, where did it go? You know, where is that sense, that feeling I had? And that's just part of the journey. The mystics call it aridity on the path, or even at its worst, dark night of the soul. So as we tap our divinity, there are, you know, many, many aspects and expressions and ways in which that can show up for us, right? There's a whole spectrum of divine qualities that are available to us. Piero Ferrucci is a psychologist and author. He's really sort of psycho-spiritual, I'd say, in his teachings and his writing. I really enjoy him. And he wrote a book on kindness where he tells a story. He was about to give a seminar, and one of his students came up to him and said, Dr. Ferrucci, you have to make sure that you meet that guy over there with the white beard. He is so funny. I mean, this guy has just got the best sense of humor. And so Dr. Ferrucci goes up to the guy and he says, I understand you have quite a talent for making people laugh. And he said the man was very shy, he was very small, and he kind of gave a little sheepish grin and nodded a little bit and moved on. And Dr. Ferrucci said he completely expected this guy to be really funny throughout the, you know, was looking for, he said he seemed like he has really cheerful demeanor and he's going to just be a really wonderful asset to what we're doing today. And sure enough, the guy was hilarious. I mean, he would give a funny example that was right on cue, and then he'd follow it up with a joke, and everybody was laughing and laughing. And so after the seminar, Dr. Ferrucci went up to his student and he said, you were right. Mr. X was so funny. And the student says, oh, I didn't mean Mr. X. I meant Mr. Y. So, you know, it turns out that whatever